our Father in heaven, as we come before your presence, we are conscious that we come before the presence of a great and mighty God, the God who dwells in glory and splendor and majesty, a God who is holy, righteous, and good, a God who is also patient and kind, a God who cares deeply for each one of us. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you that we can come together as your children, that we can draw near to you, your very presence. And we know that all this is possible because of your love and your grace towards us. Because you first reached out to us while we were yet in darkness and sin. We thank you that the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ was shed for us, that we've been cleansed, that we have been redeemed. We ask that you will help us to grow in our appreciation of what you have done for us and provided for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That you help us also to grow in our conviction, appreciation of your greatness, your sovereignty, and help us that as we live our lives before you each day, that we will not be so taken up with the realm, the visible, the things around us, that our thoughts, our perspective may not be so influenced by those around us, the people of the world who do not know you. But help us, they may live with a definite sense of consciousness that you have your children and that you do watch over our lives. Father, we pray that as we continue to consider, especially difficult situations that we go through, we ask that you help us to grow in the growing understanding of these issues, what is happening, how we should respond, understand and work out our lives before you. We know that there are times of difficulties that can be extremely difficult to try. And we ask that you will prepare us, equip us, and help us that we may not shrink back, that we will not compromise, that we will not despair, but may learn how to trust you and be faithful unto you. We come at this time to your hands, we ask that you be pleased to speak to us, that your light will shine to our hearts and minds, that you grant understanding, perception, help us. Be refreshed and strengthened to live according to what we've come to understand. We pray that you protect us and keep us, that you not allow the powers of darkness in any way to disturb us or to harass us or to hinder us from understanding and hearing, hearkening to what you have to say to us. We commit this time to your loving hands. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have been considering the subject of appearance and reality. This is the 52nd message on the second major category of situations, the 28th message. And we are now considering the topic of difficult situations which appear likely to continue indefinitely or degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness or developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. The third message on this subject, and the Lord willing also the concluding message on this subject. Some may find it difficult to understand and to appreciate the messages on this subject, although an understanding of the issues can be rather helpful, in particular if we have not gone through context like this, especially to any degree of intensity and difficulty, it may be a bit difficult to properly identify with and appreciate the issues being considered. Nevertheless, these are issues that are very helpful for us to appreciate properly, because if we desire to be true and faithful unto the Lord, then we must be ready for and should not be surprised when we do go through such times. Because the Lord Jesus tells us that a basic aspect of discipleship is to learn how to deny ourselves and to take up the cross and to follow Him. The scriptures talk much about suffering in the context of true discipleship. Paul tells us that it is through much tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. And those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There are various kinds of difficulties that do come our way, and at times it can be very trying and difficult. So, I'll just try to present some major aspects, including a brief summary of what we're considering. Hopefully, we'll be able to follow and appreciate the issues being discussed in a better way. We have been trying to reflect on trials and difficulties, especially trials that are of an intense, rather intense nature or long duration. The kind of trials and difficulties that may tend to evoke within us a sense of helplessness, hopelessness, a sense of despair, and even tending towards a direction where we may not be working hard at it. Tendency to want to give up the struggle. We all know that we should persevere and to go through well, whatever situation to come our way, including such difficulties. We may recognize this, but we may find it very difficult to do so. And so we are trying to consider some issues that may help us to understand how to go through such times, including trying to understand what is taking place. So not just a recognition that we must persevere and to do well, but some understanding that may help us have a basis, a motivation, a base on which we can work out and to respond well and also to cooperate well with God. Such understanding can be very helpful, especially for earnest believers in going through such times well, in particular how we can fulfill our part. What God requires of us. So I've mentioned three kinds of situations. They are rather similar, but some differentiation. The first kind of situation is a difficult situation or trial which appear likely to continue indefinitely. There is no solution in sight, and we feel very difficult to carry on properly, unable to endure. But sometimes in a context like this, though it may appear to likely continue indefinitely, in reality, relief may be about to take place. Sometimes, and there's a second kind of situation, not only appears to carry on indefinitely, likely to carry on indefinitely, but actually appears to be degenerating, becoming worse and worse, and become very difficult for us to endure. Difficult for us to take it. But actually, though it appears to be degenerating, in reality, dawn may be about to break. And the third category, a difficult situation where it's developing intensity towards a crisis and seems that seriously damaging consequences are about to take place. Now, such a context may occur when there's already been a difficulty going on for a long time, and then now it approaches a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. Or it may be a situation of short duration but very intense and moving towards a crisis, and what appears to be very seriously damaging consequences. Now, such a context can be very, very difficult to go through well, to take it, because I'm talking about crisis as I mentioned, seriously damaging consequences staring us in the face. In particular, where those damaging consequences seem likely to take place if we continue to be faithful to God. And if we compromise, we can get out of that difficult situation. It can be very difficult for us to persevere and be true to the Lord. But though this may be the case, it may appear that way, crisis looming before us and seriously damaging consequences, in reality, not only relief about to take place, but something significantly positive may be about to take place. And so we have reflected on three biblical examples to help us understand some of the issues on this subject. We considered what Joseph went through, and also the experience of Paul and Silas, their imprisonment, and how they were delivered following an earthquake, the Lord's intervention in that context. And thirdly, how the Israelites under Moses were delivered from bondage to Pharaoh and Egypt. We should note that it is helpful for us to recognize that when we are going through a difficult situation or trial of that nature and appear likely to carry on indefinitely or degenerating or very seriously damaging consequences appear to be likely to take place soon, it's helpful to recognize that though it appears that way, in reality, something positive may be about to take place or relief may be about to take place. Just to recognize that this can happen, this may be so, is already a helpful thing for us, because it can be encouragement for us to persevere. That is, even if we do not understand why such relief or positive development suddenly takes place. So just to recognize that the relief can suddenly take place in the manner that we have been considering, just to recognize that this can happen, can be an encouragement to us to persevere and not to give up or to be discouraged. But it is even more helpful if we are able to recognize not only that relief can come about, a positive development may take place, but to be able to understand what is happening, why such relief comes about, why it is taking place, though it appears suddenly, comes about what appears to be a sudden occurrence, is even more helpful if we can understand why it takes place, what happened. And understanding why it takes place, what happens, can be very helpful for us if we are able to understand it while we are going through that situation. And if possible, even to understand what is going on so that it will help us to respond during the situation that we are going through. And actually, that's the main concern that we should have, and that is how we can respond well. Now, if we understand and we are responding well in the situation, this would also affect the outcome of things. And such occurrences are not beyond our understanding. They are not beyond our understanding, although often we may not ponder about it, and so we do not quite realize the issues involved, but they are not beyond understanding. And we have been trying to understand some related factors which may be in operation, which accounts for why the situation suddenly turns for the better, though there are no obvious outward indications in that direction. And in the last message, we considered two factors. Today, we will carry on to consider other factors. The last message, we considered two factors. One, what is going on in the spiritual realm, including the spiritual battle which may be taking place, and the stage of the spiritual battle. And the second factor we consider is what is going on in the hearts and minds of the people who are mainly responsible for the difficulty of the situation, and which may not be obvious to others. So what is going on in the hearts and minds of the people who may, are mainly responsible for the difficulty? It's not obvious outwardly, but this can account for why suddenly there's a change for the better. Times outwardly can be a rather dramatic change. Today, we'll go on to consider other related factors which may be in operation. And also, we'll afterwards, after that, go on to consider the meaning of such situations. The meaning of such situations we go through, such experiences. Why is it God allows even those who love Him to go through such trying times? During the times of great difficulty, it may be difficult for us to appreciate the meaning of such contexts and experiences. It's helpful for us to prepare ourselves so that we'll be able to appreciate the meaning of what we are going through, and also we'll concentrate on how we ought to go through such times. So as I mentioned, there are a number of related factors to help us understand why relief suddenly comes about, help us understand, explain why this takes place. Though the outward appearance may be in the opposite direction, it seems to be in the opposite direction. So this afternoon we'll carry on with the third related factor, and that is one that is rather helpful for us to take note of, and that is our response. Our response is actually a rather important factor which help explain why relief or positive development suddenly takes place. And our response, I want to subdivide into two sections. The first aspect is our prayers, attitudes, and ways. Our prayers, attitudes, and ways. If we are faithful, continually adopting a positive posture, the way we conduct ourselves and faithfully persevering in prayer, we may actually be having a definite positive impact on the situation, though outwardly it may not appear to be so, or things may appear to be getting worse and worse. But actually there's a positive impact on the situation. For example, a positive development may be taking place in the spiritual realm because of our prayer and the way we conduct ourselves. So we are not giving ground to the powers of darkness to operate. Our prayers and our conduct can also affect the minds and the hearts of the people causing the difficulties, although outwardly it may not appear to be having any positive impact. But in reality, this is taking place. Our prayers, attitudes, and ways also affects God working in the situation. And I want to emphasize that in this regard, it's not just our prayers, but also the whole approach we take, our attitudes, our conduct. This is very important to recognize. And a strong encouragement to us to respond well, because this will then give God the freedom to work definitely in that context, as we realize that God does not work arbitrarily. He's the God of truth, and His ways, His actions are related to His character. So we want God to work effectively and the freedom to work meaningfully in that context. Then we must conduct ourselves well in that situation. Our prayers and the way we conduct ourselves also has effects on the powers of darkness at work in the situation. So as we pray, we can hinder them working. And not only hinder them, we can overcome what they are seeking to do in that context, which can be a primary cause of the intense difficulties, or why the difficulties continue for a long time. So our conduct, our attitudes, our ways, our prayers may be having a positive impact in the situation, though for quite some time there may be no obvious outward indications in that direction, but progress is taking place, and then suddenly we see the positive change. So it may appear sudden in the outward manifestations, but actually already there has been program. So this can help to explain why suddenly there's a change for the better in a very definite way. And so here, it's very helpful for us, and very important for us to recognize we must not go through such situations in a passive way. Sometimes we are able to recognize that we shouldn't murmur or be bitter or to grumble, and we may think that it's very good. If you can just hold on, that will already be a very good thing if you are not grumbling. We are just going through the situation, just trying to hold on, carrying on. But that is not enough. We cannot just passively go through it, or just take whatever comes. We are buffeted all over, the pains, the sufferings, the difficulties, and we just take it. The powers of darkness will be inflicting various pains on us. We cannot just take it in a passive way. We must actively look to the Lord to see what He requires of us. How can we respond well in that situation to overcome? In what way can we pray? Can we conduct ourselves that can positively influence the lives of others in that context which has a bearing on that situation? We must actively consider in what way we can conduct ourselves and to pray that Spirit of God can work definitely and powerfully in that situation. And at times, the situations can have very far-reaching implications. In fact, the more intense the difficulties, the more likely the situation, the issues involved, can be rather significant. So we must respond well and not go through passively. 3B, still on our response. What we've been learning and transformation taken place. What we've been learning and transformation taken place. I'll explain what I mean. A major aspect of the meaning of such trials and difficulties that we go through, and why God allows us to go through them, which I'll elaborate afterwards, has to do with what God wants us to learn in that context. On this point, I'm not elaborate on this issue, but later on, we'll consider this in greater detail. But this is actually a major aspect of the meaning of such trials and why God allows us to go through them, is what He wants us to learn. And if we respond well and we learn well, then God may deem it sufficient for the present context and remove the difficulties. And so the situation suddenly changes for the better. We respond well, we learn well, God may deem it sufficient for the present context. I say God may deem it sufficient for the present context because even the particular area that God wants us to learn, and we respond well, and God may remove that difficulty, that trial, it does not mean in the future we will no longer go through difficulties that God allows us to go through in order to help us to learn that area, for example, patience. But God in His wisdom, He regulates and the different stages of development that we go through. And at a particular stage, God may allow a certain kind of difficulty to come our way to develop certain qualities within us. And if we respond well, He may deem it sufficient for that context. And then He removes the difficulties. So when He removes the difficulties, the situation suddenly changes for the better. So, this again is a reminder to us the importance of going through the situation well, not to grumble, not to murmur, not to be passive, not to be bitter, and to realize that sometimes the period of difficulty is prolonged because we are not learning well. And the Lord sees that He has to allow us to go through to continue, the difficulty to continue because we are not learning well. But I want to emphasize again, here we are considering some factors that can be in operation in different contexts, but it doesn't mean it's always this way. If the difficulty is prolonged, it's because we are not learning well. But this can be one reason why the difficulty is prolonged, but there are other factors in operation in different contexts. So you mustn't conclude, jump to conclusions quickly, whether with our own lives or even more seriously when we observe the lives of others. We just look at something that's going on quickly, we conclude. Let's be careful before we conclude, because we may not properly appreciate what really is taking place in the context of the lives of others. Although it is possible to understand if we are discerning, and with passing time, issues may become clearer to us. The fourth factor is the prayer support of others. Prayer support of others, which causes positive development in the spiritual realm, overcoming the forces of darkness at work in the situation, or positive development, the prayer support of others that causes positive development in the hearts and minds of the people causing the difficulties. And also prayer support of others that help us to go through the situation well, helping us to respond well. Prayer support of others help us in that direction, which we already considered how it can affect the outcome of things and God at work, the context and so on, and how we respond to people, to the context, even our own prayer life. The prayer support of others can help us even in our own prayer life, the effectiveness of our prayer, our strength to persevere in that situation. It's helpful for us to realize this, that sometimes we do not recognize, we do not realize how much others may have been contributing to our lives, helping us in our lives through prayer support. And at times we may not even know the people who are praying for us or how much they've been praying for us. But this is a very real thing as we realize that in Christian living, the most crucial things are taking place in the realm of the invisible, the spiritual realm. So this helps us to appreciate the importance of prayer as a significant aspect of healthy church life. It is a major, important aspect of healthy church life. Praying for one another, and also praying together as a congregation for specific individuals and what they are going through. This is an important aspect of healthy church life. Because the strength of the prayer, the effectiveness of the prayer, is closely related to the health of the congregation, the way they function in church life, and also the health of the individual members of the body in that congregation. Of course, the importance of prayer stretches to other contexts. And not just in the present issues we are considering, especially in relation to the Lord's work generally in other aspects of church life. And then I want to conclude this section on trying to understand why relief suddenly takes place, although outwardly the indications are not there. In fact, it may be appear to be the opposite direction. I want to conclude this section by highlighting a very important aspect for us to take note of, and that is that over and beyond all these four related factors, it is very important for us to recognize the sovereign undertaking of God. The sovereign undertaking of God is timing and intervention according to His perfect wisdom and the outworking of His purposes. over and beyond all these four related factors, it's important for us to recognize the sovereign undertaking of God, His timing and intervention according to His perfect wisdom and the outworking of His purposes. The sovereign undertaking of God, we've seen this and we considered what Joseph went through, how God was sovereignly undertaking throughout, and the various encouragements, evidence of God's approval of his life and undertaking, and finally movement towards the goal of the fulfillment of God's purposes in and through Joseph's life. And then also we saw the sovereign undertaking of God throughout the experience of Moses confronting Pharaoh and leading the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. Through it all, the various aspects of God's intervention, not just the intervention themselves, but also God overseeing the whole thing and guiding Moses and what God requires of him. We also saw the intervention of God, and we considered Paul and Silas and how the earthquake took place. And through some of these incidents, we also considered the timing, God's timing. For example, when God saw it fit for the last plague to take place, the Pharaoh will release the Israelites. God saw it fit for there to be a number of incidents to take place first. God could have delivered the Israelites right from the very beginning, but He has His timing. And this is an aspect that's helpful for us to understand, especially in major areas. But on a smaller scale, it can also operate in our own lives. And that is, sometimes, apart from our faithfulness and how others may be supporting us in prayer, although all these are relevant, certain aspects of our experience and what we go through, whether at a personal level or at a major level in church life and other aspects of God's work, an issue that can be in operation has to do with God's overall purpose, His view of the whole matter, and His timing according to His perfect wisdom and the best relationship with the outworking of His purposes. So for example, we look at Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Beginning from verse 13, the Lord said to Moses what he should say to Pharaoh in the name of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, let my people go, and so on. And verse 14 says, for this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this cause I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name to all the earth. In the midst of the plagues, you'll find that there are many more plagues yet to come, a number more yet to take place. God explains that in all these things that are taking place, not only is overseeing the whole matter, but the prolonged difficulties, the various confrontations that Moses had to go through with Pharaoh, it is in line with God's purpose. God has a purpose in all these things. So even if Moses is very, very faithful, it doesn't mean that there will not be further plagues coming, the various rounds of confrontation, because in verse 15, the Lord says, if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people, you would then have been cut off from the earth. God could have done that. He could have just wiped out Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But he says, I have allowed you to remain. God in his sovereignty, he said, I allowed you to remain in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name to all the earth. God has a purpose. What is taking place in these various rounds of confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh and the plagues and so on, the demonstration, manifestation of God's power, has significance beyond just Moses and the Israelites. That in order to proclaim my name to all the earth, and in fact this is so, this is a very major incident or event or episode, a string of incidents making one whole major event, that constantly not only the Israelites look back to this incident, but for believers through the ages, as we look at what has taken place, there are significant lessons there that we can learn from it. And one major aspect has to do with our appreciation of who God is, His power, His sovereignty. In order to proclaim my name to all the earth. So God and His purposes, why these various rounds of confrontation, the difficulties that Moses and the Israelites went through. So God and His purposes, God and His timing, why these things take place. And if you look at chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, along the same line, the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I harden his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them. Verse 2, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. The concentration here is more on the Israelites. That you may tell in the hearing of your son, not just for you, but for your descendants. For your son, your grandson, and so on. Tell them what? How I made a mockery of the Egyptians, how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Well, to some degree, people, they may recognize or they may hear such affirmations that God is the Lord. But here, to what has taken place is a demonstration, something that they can look back towards and know that it has occurred. It has actually taken place in history. It will help the people, the Israelites, to recognize who God is. That He is the Lord. So God has His purposes in that context. So as I mentioned, sometimes it can be a very major thing, like what has taken place in the context of the deliverance from bondage in Egypt and under Pharaoh. But in other forms, in other modified forms, this can also take place in the context of church life, and also can take place in the lives of individuals, what individuals go through. Sometimes the intensity of the difficulties that we go through, or the prolonged nature of it, there may be a number of important goals and objectives that God wants to accomplish. Although at times we may not fully appreciate and understand what God intends to do in that situation, but at times it is possible for us to have some degree of recognition. At times God may even make clear to us the meaning of what is taking place. Why the intensity, why the long duration of the struggles. It's helpful for us, we love the Lord, we are walking with Him, to recognize the meaning, the preciousness of the fact, the truth that He is sovereign. So if God says one more plague and Pharaoh will let you go, it will be so. Saw that the Lord mentioned this in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. We now look at it. Just one more plague and Pharaoh will let you go. And it was so. And if God says the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. He mentions this. He pronounced this in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. We know that it was so. So if God says one more plague, Pharaoh will let you go, it will be so. If it's the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again, it will be so. God is sovereign. He can intervene. He can accomplish whatever he sees fitting in the situation. So we can take comfort, not in knowledge of God's sovereignty, but also in the knowledge that God cares for his children. And he cares very much for us. He knows what we are going through. And he's sovereignly in control of his whole situation. He also knows how much we can take. Sometimes we feel that we just cannot take it anymore. Why is it God allows these things to continue? But God knows. He knows how much we can take. And I mentioned about how we can take comfort in the knowledge that God cares for us, that God is sovereign. Now this taking comfort in this knowledge of who God is especially so if our attitudes are positive. We can take comfort in our knowledge of these things. But if our attitudes are not positive, then it is not meaningful for us to falsely try to assure ourselves to take comfort falsely. Take comfort in the assurance or the knowledge that God is sovereign, He cares for us. Because if our attitudes are negative, then the meaning of what we go through can be very different. We may not come through that experience for the better, but can be for the worse. But if our attitudes are positive and we are walking with the Lord, trusting Him, that doesn't mean that there's no faltering, but basically the direction. And when we fail, we falter, we confess, we seek to take steps to correct ourselves. If basically there's a kind of attitude we have, true love for the Lord, then in context we find it extremely difficult to go through. We feel as if we cannot carry on anymore. The intensity seems too great for us. We can cry out to God and tell Him that this is so. We find it very difficult. It seems as if we cannot take it anymore. If this is true, we can tell the Lord with the recognition that He's sovereign. He can intervene if He sees it fit. But even as we cry out to the Lord and tell Him so, it is also helpful for us at the same time to still express our faith in the Lord and our submission to His perfect will and wisdom, and also our willingness to continue to trust in His grace to see us through whatever He sees appropriate for us to go through. In other words, that if in His perfect wisdom He wants us to continue to go through the difficulties, let us express our submission to Him and His wisdom, but also looking to Him for grace to see us through. But if we cry out to God in this way, if our attitudes are positive and we find it extremely difficult, often need our experience, that relief or some form of encouragement often takes place. Because God is gracious. And we find it very, very difficult, and we cry out to Him in this way. Often He may grant us some form of relief, some form of encouragement, even if the difficulties do not go away. He strengthens us, He encourages us. So let us have a sense of freedom to come before God, to cry out to Him. Draw near to Him. It's a time when our relationship with God can deepen. So in our consideration of the four related factors, as well as this last aspect we will be considering about God's sovereign undertaking, all these considerations to help us understand why relief or positive development may suddenly come about, though no obvious outward indications in that direction. It is helpful for us as we consider these things to note that having understood these various factors and also the truth about God's sovereign undertaking, having understood these things, if we are prayerful, we are alert, we are perceptive, it is possible for us to recognize these things taking place and its effects on the situation we are going through, not merely after the whole episode is over, but even while we are going through the situation. It is possible. But at times, even if we are mature, our views are good, it doesn't mean that you always understand the whole thing. You still have to trust God to go through it. But my point is that it is possible to understand. If you are able to understand after the whole episode, it's already a very good thing. But even more meaningful, if it is actually God's desire that we understand, and we are prayerful, we are perceptive, and with passing time, more and more actually, in various contexts, it's possible for us to recognize what is taking place. Sometimes, even we are not very sure, we have some idea, probably some of these things are taking place, in what kind of direction. But if you don't realize these factors taking place, these are the issues involved, and you're not prayerful and not alert, you just go through all kinds of situations without realizing what's happening. And such understanding can be very meaningful and helpful while we go through them, because this has to do with a lively going through the situation together with God. If we are able to understand and perceive what is going on as we go through the situation, not only is this something generally meaningful and helpful for us as God's children, because generally God wants us to go through life with understanding, but not only is it helpful for us and helps us in our growth, our development generally, but it also can be very important and helpful, enabling us to know how to pray, what to do, and how to cooperate effectively with God. Because in such contexts, at times it can be very important not just to pray in a very general way, but if you realize, can understand, can recognize some of the issues, some of the things that are taking place, then we can be more definite in our prayer. For example, what's taking place in the life of a person, or the powers of darkness at work in the context, in what manner, we can then resist, we can then pray more definitely in that direction. And when we understand and pray more definitely, the prayer will be more effective rather than just general prayer. So understanding can be very helpful to enable us to know what to do, how to approach the situation, how to go through it, how to cooperate with God, how to pray. I now want to go on to consider together with you this question, the query that believers who go through such times may wonder. And even though we do not go through them, we see others going through such times that are extremely difficult, we may also wonder, why do Christians go through such difficult and trying times? Especially context where it may even seem almost unbearable to go through them. And we may ask ourselves, we wonder, why is it God allows even those who love Him to go through such times? And sometimes there are contexts where, as you look at it, that as far as we can understand, it is not that these people are less spiritual or more rebellious. Their lives are poorer than the lives of others. And yet they seem to go through such intensely difficult times. That's what I mean by why does God allow even those who love Him to go through such times? Because intense difficulties can also be experienced by those who are rebellious, whose attitudes are not right. But even those who love the Lord can also go through intensely difficult times. But the meaning of it is different. What is taking place is different. In other words, what we have to concentrate now is on the issue of the meaning and the meaningfulness of such times. And we can appreciate this properly. It can be very helpful for us. So we will not be fearful when we go through such times if our attitudes are right. Neither will we just simply wish that such things never happen to us. Although we are not presumptuous, we should never be presumptuous, nor be careless in going through unnecessarily difficult contexts. But there are such contexts at times which can be very meaningful for us to go through. And it's helpful we can appreciate this. So, in this regard, I want to consider two points which I think are rather helpful for us to take note of in our appreciation of the meaning and meaningfulness of such times. The first point is to realize that certain goals to attain and to accomplish involve struggle or a fight for a period of time. Certain goals to attain and accomplish involve struggle and fight for a period of time and can include intensely difficult situations. This is a truth that we need to take note of. We also, together with this, need to bear in mind that progress in God's work, especially in major areas, invariably involve encountering opposition from the forces of darkness. We must realize that it will involve encountering opposition from the powers of darkness if we are going to be serious with God's work. If there's going to be progress in God's work, there will be opposition, especially in major areas. Then the opposition can be even more problematic, difficult, though at times it may not come in a very obvious form, it can be very subtle, but intense. And also, at times, not just from encountering opposition from the forces of darkness, but also at times from people whose lives and actions are not in line with the will of God. At times also from people whose lives and actions are not in line with the will of God. And the two can merge, in a sense that the forces of darkness can work through the lives of people. Of course, at times, sad to say, the powers of darkness can also deceive those who have some degree of love for God. And being deceived, the powers of darkness make use of their lives to hinder the lives of others who are seeking to be obedient to God. That can also happen. So whether it be building God's kingdom generally or contribution towards positive direction of church life, which we recognize is a very major thing in the heart of God, especially if the positive direction of church life we're talking about is in a context where we are working is meaningful in the eyes of the Lord, and also the upbuilding of lives of individuals. All this can encounter opposition from the powers of darkness. And just as we saw how Pharaoh sought to obstruct God's plan for the Israelites by preventing them from leaving Egypt, in like manner, the evil one seeks to obstruct whatever God seeks to do. In fact, as we have considered earlier, in an earlier message, I did mention that Pharaoh and his trying to prevent, to obstruct God's plan for the Israelites, likely the evil one in that context was actively at work through true Pharaoh.
So the evil one will seek to hinder the fulfillment of God's purposes, and in the process of it, will seek to cause various problems, difficulties in different ways. Sometimes directly, for example, through direct spiritual pressure, spiritual opposition, spiritual attacks. Sometimes through circumstances, through various hardships, afflictions, illnesses, various occurrences that will tend to discourage us. And also, we can work through people. And as you read through the scriptures, one point that comes through to us as we consider the life of the Apostle Paul, we realize that in the course of his ministry, the Apostle Paul encountered much opposition, hardship, and difficulties. And you can see that his attitudes are rather positive, and has contributed much to the building of God's kingdom. But he met with much opposition, hardships, and difficulties of different forms. In Ephesians 6, he highlights to us one major aspect of our struggle, which he talks about our struggle against the forces of darkness. And in the ministry and life of Paul, he must have struggled much in prayer, in spiritual warfare, for the advancement of God's kingdom, and also problems in church life and the lives of various believers. And some of the struggles that he has gone through, the concern that he had for various ones, the agony that he went through, some of them must have been very difficult in the warfare he had to go through. Paul also, from time to time, highlights to us the work of the evil one. For example, he mentions how Satan thwarted us in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18. We will not look at that at the moment. But now I want to just look together with you one passage to see how Paul went through various kinds of difficulties and hardship. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29. Verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. Paul, in this context, was talking about various ones who appears to be laboring for the Lord, but actually causing various problems. And in contrast, he felt the need to mention about his own experience, his life, how he has sought to live for the Lord, that the Corinthians may appreciate his life and be more receptive to what he has to say. His primary concern here is clearly not to project himself in any way, but for the sake of the Corinthians. And it's only in this kind of context that Paul was willing to reveal some of the deep things in his own heart, in his own experience, in the hope that it can be of help to other believers. So he shares with us, with the Corinthians, and also now we benefit as we read from what he has written about his experiences. And as we read through these experiences, one major aspect of this passage that comes through are the various kinds of difficulties and hardship that Paul went through, and it must have been very difficult for him. And these are not isolated incidents, but we view the whole thing, we will see that his life is constantly plagued with all kinds of difficulties and pains. So he mentions in verse 23, in far more labors, the way he labored diligently, labored hard for the gospel and for the lives of believers and those who do not know the Lord. In far more imprisonments, many of us, we do not even experience once, but Paul mentioned that he experienced imprisonments many times. beaten times without number. Must be many times, trying to mention without number, beaten. Often in danger of death. For us, just experience one time. The danger of death is already can be a rather frightening experience. But Paul mentioned that this is something common in his life. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Just once would already be a very trying thing. 39 lashes, but he received it 5 times. And in the context of all this, it's quite clear. He's talking about not primarily to his own faults and failures, but because of faithfulness to God. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. It must have been extremely painful to suffer the 39 lashes, and for 5 times. Then it is 3 times I was bitten with rods. Once we saw the experience of Paul and Silas, how they were beaten with rods and then imprisoned in the stocks. These 3 times I was bitten with rods. Once I was stoned. This could reference to the experience in Lystra, where he was stoned so badly that those who stoned him thought that he was dead. They thought he had died. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. One occasion of shipwreck we considered some detail in times past. When recorded for us in the book of Acts, how on the way to Rome, the ship met with a very severe storm, and for many days, many of those, including the sailors on board the ship, thought that all was lost, no hope of being saved. Such were the experiences of Paul. And he said, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. Which has been a very uncomfortable experience. And then he mentions verse 26. On frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, various kinds of dangers. Journey in those days was difficult. But Paul didn't go on these journeys because of his own desires, just to see what is going on in other places. But in service, he went on these journeys, and there were various dangers he had to go through. Dangers from rivers, from the physical environment, but also from men. Dangers from robbers, but more seriously, dangers from my countrymen, the Jews. So many of the places he went to, we see in the book of Acts recorded for us, the Jews, his own countrymen, kept on going at him, making life very difficult for him, and even at times wanting to kill him. On more than one occasion, he faced a lot of problems from the Jews, dangers from the Gentiles, much persecution he experienced. And also, if you read through the book of Acts, you find that he was chased from city to city, persecuted. None of the cities he left because of the fierce persecution, chased out of the city by the fierce persecution. At times, in real danger for his life. Dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from false brethren. Those who appear to be serving the Lord, but actually causing him not only much problem, but also danger that he faced from them. Verse 27. In labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights. Quite clear, it's not because he just found difficulty sleeping. Many thoughts in his mind, the way many people have, they can't sleep for no good reason, or for reasons that are not good. Preoccupied with various thoughts that are not meaningful. But Paul is talking about the context of service where he went through a lot of difficulties. The sleepless nights can include because of the hardship of the situation. It can include sleepless because he could have been praying through the night. In hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. All this can be a description of the hardships that he went through. because he didn't always have sufficient to eat and to drink, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. But besides some of these afflictions that come upon him because of his service, we know also there would be various occasions when he voluntarily, deliberately fasted and prayed. And then, verse 28 and 29, a different kind of hardship that he went through. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? The daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches is an area that many will find difficult to understand, appreciate, identify with what Paul is trying to say here. But this kind of difficulties that Paul went through, difficulties related to this area, this issue, can actually be even more difficult for Paul to bear and to go through than many of the other difficulties that he went through of physical nature, being shipwrecked, being beaten and so on. Because this daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches and related issues in this area relates to the deep burden that he had for the believers and for the various churches. So at times it can be primarily in the direction of things not going on well. For example, he mentions who is weak without my being weak, who is led into sin without my intense concern. At the individual level, people's lives, those are not responding well. And Paul's deep concern, agony, labor for them, and long periods of time, we may see how many difficulties they are going through. It can be at a congregation level, how he wrote the Galatians, the Corinthians, the many problems that they went through. And when you hear reports of what's been going on in their lives, in their context, and how he agonized for them in prayer. Now, as he sought to do so, there would also be significant spiritual pressures upon him as he seeks to pray for all these major aspects of God's work. The powers of darkness will not be leaving him alone, because his concern, his labors in these directions will incur also the wrath of the powers of darkness in their opposition. So there will be a lot of spiritual struggles, pressures upon Paul related to his concern for the churches, for the brethren. And the kind of pain and agony that he goes through as he sees the lives of those who are not going on well, especially those who may be responding rather badly to the Lord, rather negative attitudes and ways. Verse 29, it says, who is led into sin without my intense concern? We look at the margin. Looking at the Standard Bible, you'll see there, without my intense concern. The intense concern is actually expressed there literally with the word burn. The intense concern, the burning within him, how much he felt for these issues, how much he was affected, not in a negative way, but the kind of involvement in the lives of these people, the intensity of their concern, pain and agony that he went through as he struggled over the lives of different ones and also church life generally, the various congregations and churches. There are many different forms and kinds of pressures, difficulties that a believer will go through in our desire to be faithful to the Lord and to serve him. And a question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we prepared to persevere in the struggle in order to attain the goals? We have all often affirmed our desire to be true to the Lord. We want to build God's kingdom. We talk about discipleship, being a soldier of Christ. We talk about committing our lives to kingdom building. But are we just affirming these things in our lips, or perhaps even saying about them, onward Christian soldiers and so on? But are we prepared to prove our commitment to these things by our lives? Are we prepared to prove the meaning of the words we profess our concern, our lives given over the building of God's kingdom. That's what we are concerned about. We want to be a true soldier of Christ, a true disciple. But if these are to go beyond just profession of lips, we must prove it by our lives, which includes our willingness, our preparedness to go through struggles, great intensities of difficulties, difficulties of a prolonged nature, even though we may not even yet have gone into them, just anticipating that they are coming. If you are to be faithful, we will go through it. Not just a willingness to go through difficulties when they come upon us, but even willing voluntarily to walk into them. When we recognize that faithfulness to God will mean that we will be going through such times, it's then we can either detour, compromise, take the easy way out, or go straight into it. Would we walk into them? The various struggles that Paul went through, many of these things he knows. Maybe sometimes not in the exact form, but he knows the difficulties they were confronting, but he will go through them. Including the times when they told him, he knew the bonds and afflictions that await him in Jerusalem. But he says, in obedience to the Lord, he will go, even if it meant death. If we do not face difficulties, hardship, if our lives are filled with ease and comfort, it may mean we are not earnest in our faith. It may be because we are not encountering significant spiritual opposition. It may be because we are compromising. We are taking the easy way out. Paul, from his own personal experience and his recognition of truth, tells us very clearly, through much tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God. And it's given to us not to believe in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his name's sake. Of course, not all difficulties and hardship we go through is because of faithfulness to God. But if we want to be faithful to God, we must be willing and prepared to face the hardships and difficulties that come our way. And I want to go on to the second point to help us understand the meaning and meaningfulness of going through such times of sufferings and difficulties. And this is a very helpful aspect for us to be very clear about. That is that there are aspects of our lives God wants to deal with and develop. Aspects of our lives God wants to deal with and develop in relation to the difficulties and sufferings that we go through, that is. Things God wants us to learn. I mentioned God wants us to deal with or develop. Deal with, the emphasis there is more to do with negative traits, weaknesses, deficiencies. Develop, the emphasis there is more positive qualities that God wants to develop. So it's not necessarily just dealing with weaknesses, but at times it can be positive qualities that God wants us to develop. So even if our lives are basically pleasing to the Lord, there can be various hardships and trials that He wants us to go through to develop positive qualities. And such trials and difficulties can be very important for the development of those qualities, can be very important for the dealing with the negative traits and weaknesses within us. This second aspect of what God wants to deal with our lives and for us to develop can go together with the first point, and that is in the context of goals to accomplish, the spiritual opposition and various difficulties that we go through. It can go together with that in the sense that in the context of our desire to serve the Lord, we face various difficulties. In the midst of those difficulties, God at the same time also is seeking to deal with our negative traits, weaknesses, expose them, deal with them, or we develop various important aspects of our lives, positive development. So it can go together with the first point. Though there are different contexts, there are different occasions of trials and difficulties where the emphasis may be different. There are some contexts where what God allows us to go through, the intensity of the difficulties and so on, may primarily be because of the weaknesses, deficiencies that God wants to deal with our lives, of some areas He wants to develop within us. Whereas some contexts, the emphasis may be primarily has to do with kingdom building, spiritual opposition. So the emphasis in different contexts may be different. In the early stages of our lives, our Christian life that is, and our development, there will be much of the second aspect. That is, context where God wants to deal with us and to develop qualities within us. In the early stages of our life, there will be much of this second aspect. But the later stages of our development, our walk with God, more and more, we will experience the first aspect, and that is difficulties that we go through because of spiritual opposition in the context of service. Like what we read of what Paul went through. Now, faithful service to God, we go through various times of difficulties, at times very intensely difficult, but primarily in the direction of service. But though in the later stages of our life, there may be much of the first aspect in the sense of difficulties in the context of service, the second aspect continues to be very relevant and important, because at whatever stage we may have grown and developed, in the midst of the intensity of the difficulties and the trials that come our way, God continues to desire to teach us the deeper things. So this second aspect will always be relevant and always very important, whatever the stage of our lives, of our development. Likewise, to some degree, even in our earliest stages of development, there can be also some degree of involvement in trying to serve the Lord and spiritual opposition that we face. But I just want to highlight that there can be some differentiation that we can recognize. The earlier stages will be much of the second aspect. The later stages, we can experience more of the first aspect of difficulties in the context of service. Often, some of the deepest lessons of our lives, in our walk with God, are learned during such difficult times. It will be intensely difficult. We feel as if we cannot bear it. But often some of the deepest lessons are learned during such difficult times. Sometimes it may be the same area of truth. We may think that we have already learned it. For example, what it means to be patient, to be endurant, to be perseverant, or to what it means to trust God. We may think we've learned how to trust God. But during the very intensely difficult times, the depth of our learning of these areas can be deepened significantly. The meaning of trusting God in the midst of intense difficulties, or in the midst where, in the context where a very trying context confronts us, a crisis confronts us, seriously damaging consequences staring us in the face, if we have to be faithful to God, to persevere, it appears that that is going to take place. That kind of trusting God is and can be quite different from during other occasions in our daily walk with God. General or normal times, we may think that we are able to trust God, but during such times, we may find our faith beginning to fail. But during such times of intense difficulties, we learn to trust God and what He desires of us. We will find that our faith in Him deepens. But some of the deepest lessons are in these areas of our relationship with God. Trusting God, drawing near to Him. We often talk about drawing near to God. We want to be near to God. We want to draw near to Him. Times of intense difficulties can be very helpful to help us to draw near to God, not just with our lips, but in our hearts. Depth of drawing near to God. we do not need much encouragement during such time. We will, if our ideas are positive, just draw near to Him. And then the area of deepening knowledge of God, of deepening fellowship with Him. It can be very helpful, but all these are said in the context of positive response. It can be a time where we significantly deepen our knowledge of God. We know that God is sovereign, God is powerful, and then in such times we draw near to Him. As we are faithful to Him, as we walk with Him, we see Him working in definite and powerful ways. And during such times we find it so difficult, the intensity of our crying out to Him, about coming to Him, the depth of our fellowship, not just at the moment, but in the situation, the crisis over a period of time, during the whole period of time, the deepening of our fellowship with God. And an area that is very helpful for us to develop during such time is the understanding of the realities in the spiritual realm. If we are faithful to the Lord, we are alive to God and to the situation, as we pray, as we seek to understand, we may be able to recognize, to see various aspects of things happening in the spiritual realm, to understand the various truths that we've been hearing, how they actually take place, how they operate, can be very helpful for us, including the area of spiritual warfare and the development of our prayer life, learning how to pray intensely, as we realize there are many different kinds of prayer. The words may be the same, the subject matter may be the same, but during times of intense difficulties, it's easier for us to pray intensely, to cry out to God. Of course, it is not essential that it must only be during such times that we really deepen our walk with God, development of our prayer life and so on, but such times can be very helpful. And what it means to be strengthened by the Lord. We want to be strengthened by the Lord. During such times, we learn how to come to Him, be strengthened by the Lord, and actually experience this in a very real way. And also, seeing God at work. During such times, we can various aspects about seeing how God works in the situation. Now, all these are areas that we are familiar with. But during such times, you'll find that these are no longer just vague concepts, but they can become very real to us. Trusting God near, drawing near to Him and so on, the past, maybe just concepts, not that there's no reality at all, but a bit vague to us what these things mean. But during times of intense difficulties, we can heighten, deepen our experience, the realities of these issues to us. But, having said all this, we need to note that the opposite can be true. The opposite can be true. In other words, times of intense difficulties and so on doesn't necessarily mean that we'll always be helpful. The opposite can be true. We may respond badly. If we fail to respond well, or we respond negatively, we may compromise, we may turn away from God, we can become reactive, we can become bitter, our faith in God can be shaken, we can degenerate in our spiritual life. This can happen. We need to be prayerful. We must respond well. It does not mean that having gone through a difficult time, we will come out better. We can come out much better, that is true. But we can also go through it and degenerate. So such periods can also be very helpful time for the development of inward qualities within us. Development of inward qualities, for example, patience, endurance, perseverance, in this area, how to go through it together with faith, courage. We learn to go through it well. It can be very difficult, but as we trust the Lord, as we continue to go through it, we can deepen very much our qualities in this area. And we go through such times well. The qualities developed within us will help us throughout our lives, in various other areas, how we go through other aspects of life. At times it can require a lot of courage. It require a lot of courage to go through such contexts. And we learn to look to the Lord for strength, for grace, learning to trust God, to persevere. And then, we are all concerned about the development of our spirit. such context can be very helpful. You develop strength of spirit and also various aspects that are helpful for our spirit, spirit of meekness, gentleness, and so on. We can be very provoked, very, very trying, but we learn how to be meek, how to be gentle, under very great provocation, under great stress. The development of our will, very important aspect of our lives, and this has to do with developing the will in the direction of truth. We choose the truth. But when times are easier is one thing, but when times are very difficult, and yet we steadfastly choose to continue to be faithful, to act in the direction of truth, it's a very meaningful context to develop the will in a very helpful way, that our will becomes strengthened in the direction of truth and the development of our character generally. Various aspects of our character as it's tested, as under stress, as we continue to be faithful, the fruit of the spirit in a much deeper measure becomes real in our lives. And if all these are developed during such times, it will continue on. Be very meaningful and helpful for us to go through various other contexts, and not only that, this actually has to do with the very heart of what God is concerned about for our lives and also for eternity. All these aspects that are formed within us has pertains to our very being, that doesn't just come and go, but becomes a part of us. And so we need to ponder over what is the quality of our faith, of our life, of our convictions. These are areas that we need to be very concerned about. And such contexts and times are helpful for us to ponder over these things and to reveal to us and to help us understand our true state. How much does love of God really mean to us? We often affirm that we love the Lord, we love the truth. We may even say that we wholeheartedly love the Lord, love the truth, we are committed to the Lord and to the truth. But will we live by the truth? Will we live in accordance with our profession of love for God, consistent with that, whatever happens, however difficult, however long the duration? Will we? Such times can help us understand ourselves better. What is our true state? Some of us may think that we are quite alright. We think that we love the Lord and we love the truth deeply. We are wholeheartedly committed to live accordingly. We may not be so aware of our weaknesses, our deficiencies, our lack of strength, the lack of depth in our convictions. Such times may reveal various deficiencies, help us recognize the impurities in our hearts and our lives, and also the lack of quality of our faith and commitment to God as we falter during such times. Or during such times, as we see the difficulty of going through it, we recognize how weak we are. And during such times, Proverbs 24 verse 10 may then come through to us quite strongly. Proverbs 24 verse 10: if you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. You may think that you are quite okay, you are strong, you are alright, but in the day of distress, under stress, difficulties, when you are slack, we can't cope with it well, we can't respond well, our strength actually is limited. We didn't realize how limited is our strength. This principle can be applied, stretched to various aspects of our lack. So under stress, various weaknesses and difficulties may be manifested. We begin to realize how anxious we can be. At other times, we look at others, we see others anxious, we think we are not the sort. We know how to trust God. But during such times, we begin to realize that we can be rather anxious. because of lack of faith. The sense of insecurity in the context. The degree in which we can be provoked, very aroused, very agitated in ways that we know we should not be. The lack of faith, lack of love, lack of the strength to persevere in the truth, which we already know. Truths we recognize, we know we should act in that way, but we find that very lacking the strength to persevere in the conduct what God requires of us, which we already know. So such times can be very helpful for us, can help us to deeper into a deeper sense of humility as we recognize our own lack. Such times can help us deepen our sense of humility. And the sense of humility, true humility, is a very important trait for all those who desire to walk well with God or to go deeper in our spiritual life. And also help us towards a greater sense of consciousness to depend on God and the utter lack of our own resources. And also not only to recognize our need to depend on God, but also to learn actually to depend on God. The two are not the same. We recognize we need to depend on God. Generally, we already recognize we need to depend on God. But during such times, a greater consciousness of it, we really need to depend on God, but it mustn't stop there. And it's also a very helpful context for us to learn, really learn to depend on God. And hopefully, after we come out of that difficulty, we will still continue to truly depend on God and never become dependent on our own strength, cleverness, resources. Let us turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 39. This verse means, and its meaning may become precious to us during such times. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Just as we saw just now, that in times of distress, we find our strength is limited. We begin to realize salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. We will realize that we're not able to carry on in that context on our own. And also in that context, experience the strength of the Lord, that He is our strength. Salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Yes, we need to put our lives right, our confidence in Him. He is our strength. So during such times, there can then surface various areas where we are then able to recognize, areas for us to look into. Then areas of lack of recognition, then areas that we need to deepen, areas that we need to develop. So such times, during such occasions, these are important areas that we should be alert to. Become more aware about areas of deficiencies, areas we need to depend, areas we need to develop. Such times can also help us to appreciate our need of others. During other occasions, we might be so conscious of our real need for others. Not that we don't need them, but we might be so conscious of it, so appreciative of it. But such times help us to appreciate this important truth and principle, which God wants us all to appreciate. That has a lot to do also with the concept of the body. God wants us to recognize that we need others. We are not self-sufficient. Not just that we need God, but also He wants us to appreciate our need of others. So during such times, to appreciate our need of others, our need for counsel, we find very difficult how to cope with it. Our need for counsel comes through to us in a stronger way. Our need for prayer support, we realize the importance of prayer support. Our need for encouragement, we find it difficult. And when others do support us, we can appreciate in a deeper way. Some of us have gone through such times, and these are areas that come through to us in a stronger way. Various ones have testified from time to time in these directions. We also learn be more understanding and more able to understand and identify with others in their struggles. I say more understanding and more able to understand. More understanding has to do with generally as a person learning to be more understanding towards people. For example, to be more understanding of people, their difficulties, their struggles, in a sense of more able to unhealthily critical, in a sense of being more understanding. But more able to understand is different. You may be an understanding person, then you are quite an understanding person generally, but you are not quite able to really understand people, what is going on, what are the struggles, what it means actually. But such times help us not only to learn more understanding, but more able to understand what is happening to other people, learn to identify with them, and perhaps in some measures also to help others in their struggles and difficulties, including how to pray for them. As we go through these such difficulties and struggles in our own experience, we are more able to understand the struggles and difficulties of others and how to pray for them effectively. What direction? What are the areas that are important? What are the areas of need? Let us now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 11. That help illustrate some of these aspects that we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 3. You'll find that as we read through these verses, theme of difficulties, intense difficulties and sufferings, afflictions come through strongly. That's one aspect. And the other aspect, the comfort. The word comfort appears many times. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Paul introduces here God of mercies and God of all comfort, because comfort is going to be a prominent theme that he's talking about. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In the midst of afflictions, we experience more of God's comfort. Who comforts us in our affliction? A deep experience of God and God's comfort. It's a deepening knowledge of God, experience of God. And so that we may be able to comfort those who are in the affliction. Helps us to identify with them, help us to know how to comfort them, how to be of help to them, to identify them, to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Not just words, but through personal experience, through what we've benefited, what we've learned, the reality, the comfort that comes through to others, that has positive value, and not just pat the person on the back and say, trust God, all will be fine. We know how to help others in a manner that's truly beneficial. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. This helps us appreciate that in times of difficulties, especially in the context of faithfulness to God, if we suffer much, it can also be a time of a deeper experience of the abundance of comfort through the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows our needs. He knows the intensity of our sufferings, and the greater the suffering, especially in the context of faithful walk with God, we experience more of the grace of God and the comfort of God. But if we are afflicted, it is for your salvation and it is for your comfort and salvation. This has to do with Paul's sufferings and difficulties for the benefit of others in service. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. Even when he is comforted, it has beneficial effects for others, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. He emphasizes here the importance of patient enduring of the sufferings. So just as he went through these sufferings, he's concerned that they likewise also learn to be patient enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. the principles are the same, though the form may be different. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Same line. Thinking, in personal experience, likewise for them, if they suffer much, they may also share the comfort of God. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despair even of life. This is a verse that's helpful because it brings home to us strongly the point we're talking about, the intensity of suffering. Burden excessively beyond our strength, so that we despair even of life. Very difficult time for Paul. The afflictions which came to us in Asia. Very severe, intense afflictions. Very difficult to bear. Verse 9, indeed, in the case of Paul and others laboring together with him, this is really the context of faithful service to God. Opposition that comes their way, difficulties they have to endure. Verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This brings home one of the important principles we are considering just now. That during times of such intense difficulties, it helps us with a greater appreciation of our lack in ourselves and that we cannot trust in our own resources. In order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Not that Paul trusted in himself in times past, but such context deepens the appreciation of this truth of the fact that we cannot trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, that God can even raise the dead. And verse 10 goes on to talk in this direction of the power of God and how God can deliver and does deliver in whatever form and manner that is suitable in that context according to his perfect wisdom. In verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Paul speaks from personal experience of his knowledge of God, as well as his experience of God in many contexts, that God does deliver. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he repeats it. And then again, and he will yet deliver us. So such times helps us the deep experience of God, the power of God, who He is, His concern for our lives. Verse 11, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. Notice here, Paul mentioning that they were also helping him. He appreciated their prayer support. The prayer support of others was of help to Paul in his context, in his struggles to serve the Lord in the difficulties he encountered. The ministry of others, the support of others, the help of others. You also joining in helping us through your prayers. That thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. With the prayer support, and as the Lord works in the situation, there is rejoicing all around and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And the name of the Lord is lifted up. Some struggles and afflictions, difficulties, may go on for a long time. Although this is not the only area that we've been considering our subject matter, struggles for a long time, some may be brief but very intensely difficult. But some struggles and afflictions and difficulties may go on for a long time. And sometimes primary reason may be for our learning. There are various aspects that Lord wants us to learn through the process. But sometimes, the difficulties may go on for a long time because of the state of others, the attitudes of others, as well as other complexities in the situation. But whatever they may be, let us realize, however intense, however long the duration, God is sovereign and He has His perfect timing to get us out of that situation. But the important part, the important thing for us, is to learn to trust Him and be faithful in that context. But having said this, it's also helpful for us to realize that sometimes the difficulties, maybe for a long period of time, can be partly because of some unwise or wrong choices that we have made. Some wrong, unwise actions on our part may result also in long-term difficulties. So we need to be extra careful in such areas. Areas, issues are important. Areas that have long-term implications. I want to stop here for today. Let us now prepare our hearts to partake of Lord's Supper. Let's reflect over our lives. Are there difficulties, trials that we go through? What has been our attitude? The way we view the difficulties? Whether the trials we face in times past or at the present moment, even if they are not very intense, it's helpful for us also to reflect. In some ways, some of the principles we're talking about here with modification can also be applied. That is how we go through them, how we learn to draw near to the Lord, to trust Him, how He can help us to recognize areas of deficiencies in our lives, what the Lord desires and requires of us. In our response to the Lord in the context of difficulties has not been good, let us acknowledge, confess to the Lord our failures. At the same time, ask Him to help us to understand the meaning of these falterings and failures. What steps need to be taken to correct our attitudes, our perspective, our response, our conduct, the way we go through? Let us also ponder over the meaningfulness of difficulties that God allows in our lives. And seek to ponder over what the Lord desires us to learn through difficulties that we go through. So let us ponder over the various aspects of our lives as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, focusing our eyes on Lord Jesus, our perfect example, the one who went through intense sufferings and difficulties, but remained faithful to the Father, that we now may have forgiveness of sin and experience the life of God. Papa, Heavenly, I do be thankful as we come before Your presence to know that You come before our Heavenly Father, the Sovereign Almighty God, who cares deeply for each one of us, the God of perfect wisdom, who knows all things, who knows our frailties, our weaknesses, our deficiencies, our falterings. God who is patient with us, a God who loves us, a God who is merciful and gracious. And we thank You that You also see in us the potential. We conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, become men and women of conviction, who love the Lord, who love the truth, as Christ is formed in us. Father, we recognize that all that You allow us to go through, all that You intend for our lives, for our ultimate well-being. We ask that You will teach us how to rejoice in You, how to worship You, how to give thanks in our context that we go through. Thanking You for who You are and what You desire to bring about in our lives. Even during times of intense difficulties, we know that we can trust you because you are sovereign. And that you will undertake the positive outcome in the lives of those who trust you and love you and walk in your ways is assured, because you will bring it to pass. Help us that as we live our lives on earth, more and more we may constantly be conscious of the true perspective of life and the way we view things. Then we learn to perceive the issues of life from the true perspective, not according to our appearance of things and the views of the people of the world, but according to your perspective. Then we also learn to perceive the ultimate reality beyond the realm of the visible and the realm of the invisible. Be more conscious to take more note of the importance of the things that do not perish and not be distracted, preoccupied, absorbed, drawn away by the perishing, however attractive we may appear to be. We thank you for the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his patience and endurance, for all the afflictions that came upon him, in faithfulness to the Father to accomplish this mission, to die for our sins. We rejoice in his resurrection and ascension, and we rejoice that you have placed us in him. Rejoice in the fact that we are complete in him. Help us to grow in maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us day by day to deepen our knowledge of the Lord, our fellowship with God, and our faithfulness to God. We thank you now for the bread and for the wine. We ask for your blessings and the bread and wine. We ask that you will prepare our hearts and minds and spirit, cleanse us from all defilement of flesh and spirit, we praise you, we give you thanks. We ask that you help us to partake of our supper, not that what you may. From the outside of this, in Jesus' precious name.